This is Tom Warren inviting you to listen to 5 Gospel Minutes. Won't you take just a few moments out of your very busy day and study with us from the sacred Word of God? We continue today with a lesson we began last time on what logicians call the law of excluded middle. The law of excluded middle says that any given statement is either true or false. Now this, of course, has also a biblical basis, for we find in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, the Lord Jesus Christ saying this, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." In setting forth the law of excluded middle, logician Lionel Ruby said, "A proposition is either true or false. There is no middle ground between truth and falsity." Of the same law, logician W.S. Jevons said, "Its meaning may best be explained by saying that it is impossible to mention anything and any quality of circumstance without allowing that the quality of circumstance either belongs to the thing or does not belong. The name of the law expresses the fact that there is no third or middle course. The answer must be yes or no. Let the thing be rock and the quality hard. Then rock must either be hard or not hard. Gold must be either white or not white. A line must be either straight or not straight. And action must be either virtuous or not virtuous." However, we find, in spite of the fact that this truth is recognized by right-thinking people, there are those who contend that when there are opposing views as to whether a given proposition is true or not true, one must be careful not to be legalistic and say that the proposition is either 100% true or 100% false. To illustrate such opposition to the truthfulness of the law of excluded middle, let it be supposed that there is a certain statement or proposition that we will call P. Let it be further supposed that man A, let us say, says that proposition P is true. Let it be further supposed that man B says proposition P is not true. And let it be still further supposed that a third man C, says, "Since man A and man B differ or contradict each other in their views, how can I know which one is right? How can they know which one is right? It seems to me that there is good to be said for the views of both man A and man B, and that either one of them would be somewhat arrogant to say that his own view is 100% right and the view of the other is 100% wrong." Now, basically, of course, this is the agnostic approach to the problem. Man C's position amounts to upholding this view that man really cannot find truth and therefore cannot ever be sure that his own views are right and that opposing views are wrong. But Jesus himself disagreed with this when he said, as recorded in John 8, verse 32, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." In order to help in understanding what the law of excluded middle is and how important it is, I urge you to carefully consider the following propositions. Let's think about the proposition number one. The Bible teaches there is one God. Of this proposition, let it be supposed that man A says the proposition is true. Further, suppose man B says the proposition is not true. Further, suppose man C says the proposition is neither true nor false. There is some good to be said for the view of man A and for the view of man B. Further, suppose man D says when there are opposing viewpoints, who can tell which is right? After all, each one thinks he is right. I say, let us be guided by love and agree to disagree. Love is the important thing. It does not matter whether or not we agree on the truthfulness or falsity of this proposition. Now, friends, the Bible simply makes it clear that this is not the case. The proposition the Bible teaches there is one God is either true or false. It cannot be the case that both of them are equally true, equally valuable. The Bible teaches there is one God. It is false to say there are many gods or that there is no God at all. But our time is gone for today. I'm so glad that you have been with us, and I hope you'll be back with us next time as we continue our study of the sacred will of God.